cloud computing is not one size fits all offering. The cloud service provider configures the infrastructure depending on the applications required or offered and the architecture of cloud deployment. So based on these particular items, the cloud service provider configures the solution, the infrastructure. So there will be discussion that will be happening between the organization and the cloud infrastructure provider, service provider. And based on this particular thing, he will allocate the infrastructure or he will suggest the infrastructure that is allocated required. Applications that are required by you and what exactly is the cloud deployment model you are going to use. Are you going to use an Azure, AWS? Based on this particular thing, the entire thing will get changed. Which is the application you are going to use, operating system you are going to use, are you going to use Linux, Unix, Windows? Based on all these particular things, the cloud service provider will suggest what is the infrastructure that will be required for you. Public cloud, just now you are mentioning about public cloud deployment, what kind of different deployment models you are having. Public cloud is one thing, private cloud is one more thing, community cloud is third. We'll hybrid cloud, we'll do outsourced private cloud. So we'll go through one by one. So public cloud can be accessed by any subscriber with an internet connection and access to the cloud space. It may be owned, managed, and operated by a business, academic, or government organization, or some combination of them. It exists on the premises of the cloud provider. So, it will be there in the cloud provider's location. This is an important place, and people through internet will be in a position to connect and do their transactions or do their activities that are required for the respective business. Examples of this particular thing are Amazon, what are you seeing? Netflix is one more example of public cloud, where people who are having access will be in a position to connect to the public cloud and do their activities. Next comes a private cloud. A private cloud is established for a single or specific group of organization and limits access to just that group. It may be owned, managed, and operated by the organization, a third party, or some combination of them. It may exist on or off premises. So, private clouds, it will be there on premises, and it can be an off premises also if you are going to have multiple companies get together and have a single cloud. So in this case, only the group people will be in a position to connect to the respective cloud, and they will be in a position to do transactions that are required for them to do. So maybe in case, like, examples of this, I think your mobile banking app which you are having, the mobile banking you are having. So these are private cloud where you will be in the position to connect to and do transactions. Community cloud is one more deployment model which is evolving. A community cloud is shared among two or more organizations or a community that has similar cloud requirements or shared concerns. So maybe some or two or three banks may come together and have a community cloud which may not be related to their own transactions but related to the actual thing. So there is one good example of this particular thing is a Policy Bazaar is one kind of community cloud where you will be in a position to do a transaction irrespective of whichever insurance provider you are going to take. You can choose from the community cloud. So you can enter into the community cloud, choose HDFC Ergo as your insurance provider, or you can choose ICICI Lombard as your insurance provider based on whatever is required by you. This is an example of community cloud where your final end result will be, you will be connected to the specific ICICI or HDFC Ergo, but still you will be in a position to see what are the options you are having in your hand. It may be owned, managed, and operated by one or more of the organization in the community, a third party, or some combination of them, and it may exist on or off premises. Like we are saying, it could be, there are multiple options that are there based on with the requirement of the community cloud. Next is hybrid cloud. It's essentially a combination of at least two clouds where the clouds included are a mixture of public, private, or community that remain unique entities. So, hybrid cloud combines all the three or four items, but are bound together by standardized or proprietary technology that enables data and application portability. For example, cloud busting for load balancing between clouds. So you are having multiple clouds and suddenly if there is a demand high, you will be in a position to manage from private cloud to public cloud or public to private, you will be in a position to jump. So all the limitations that are there in the public or private or community cloud is handled in the hybrid cloud. Next comes the outsourced private cloud, where it is a private cloud service that has been outsourced to a cloud service provider. While aspects such as infrastructure requirements are determined by a contract, the one key issue is security. So in this case, what will happen is that the entire private, you are having a private cloud, but the entire thing has been outsourced to some other organization, be it like example of Hewlett Packard, or Hewlett Packard having a private cloud at their own location, and they are doing a service provider for a specific bank. So in this case also, what will happen is that people from Hewlett Packard will be doing the activity on behalf of the specific bank, and what, and the only challenge, only issue here is a security, because the entire thing is going to be outside your premises, and if there is a disaster that is happening in the specific service provider, you will be there will be a security challenge will be there for a respective bank. The private cloud has two security perimeters, one implemented by a cloud consumer and one implemented by a provider. So there are two sets of securities that will be there. So suppose a hacker has to cross, he has to cross two perimeters to connect to the respective server. There are various options for ensuring security and separation between private cloud resources and other cloud resources: virtual local area network, VLAN, VPN, separate network segments or clusters, etc. If not carefully designed, the customer may end up in a virtual public cloud. So this is what we have to consider before proceeding further with cloud deployment models. Next comes the service models. Cloud computing services is a utility-based model that may be of software offered as a SaaS or infrastructure servers and others order offered as infrastructure as a service, IaaS, or of hosted platforms such as operating systems and system tools, utilities offered as platform as a service. So two options are available, or you can say three options are available. One is a SaaS, which where software is getting provided as a service. Say Tally is one option where multiple cooperative societies are connecting to the Tally system for doing their accounting system. Because consider, if you are going to have an for each cooperative society is going to have their own server for doing the transactions, the cost is going to be on the very higher side, and consider the limited transactions that are going to do, cost is going to be on the higher side. Instead, what they do is a SaaS, they are going to proceed further. Tally is a SaaS is available where cooperative societies will connect to the respective server, the respective software, and they will do the transaction, come out and do proceed further with the respective thing. In this case, there is not that much required from for their end. They will just do they will just log into the system as a normal user, how they log in, do the transaction, come out. One more option is Yahoo is one more as a software as an service which each and every person is using. Yahoo or Koo, Gmail, all these are the particular, nothing but other than a SaaS which are using. Only thing is it is free of cost. So infrastructure as a service, again, it will be like your hardware is being maintained as a service. You will just connect to the respective thing. You manage your own infrastructure that is required, hardware that is required for your organization. Do addition or modification automatically, or as a manual user, you can add or increase your RAM, your memory, or your size of the storage. All these can be added or reduced based on the person's required, the organization requirement. This is called infrastructure as a service. When you talk about operating systems, or when you talk about databases and all these particular things, you want to have it outside your organization cloud, then it is called as a platform as a service, PaaS. The software may be hosted anywhere on the cloud provider's choice of data centers, and the consumer just goes by pay as you go based on the usage. This model is SaaS. So just now we are mentioning what, as per your wish, as per your transaction you are doing, as per the time you are spending on this respective software. So all these particular cases, your SaaS will happen. And again, there is one more important thing that as we consider here. When you talk about cloud service providers, they also have multiple data centers, and maybe in India itself, they will be having 4 or 5 data centers you will be having. And as per your example, Amazon AWS having 5 data centers in India itself. And based on your location, you can connect to the respective data center. This will reduce the network requirements of the respective organization. So there is no point in a person who is having an organization fully focused in Mumbai to connect to an American data center, because the time that is going to spend for the data to flow from there to here will be different from the time you are going to spend to connect to the data center which is there in Mumbai. Next is, we have discussed detail about software as a service. The capability provided to the consumer is to use the provider's applications running on a cloud infrastructure. The applications are accessible from various client devices through a thin client interface such as a web or a program interface. Through these particular things, you will be in a position to connect to the respective application and do the transactions that are required. Next, platform as a service. In this case, what will happen is that the platform or the operating system or a database will be there in the cloud service provider. And you will be using the operating system or the database which is there in the service provider's location. The capability provided to the consumer is to deploy onto the cloud infrastructure consumer created or acquired applications required using programming languages and tools supported by the provider. So the development can happen in a PaaS, PaaS, be it a Python or Java, all these particular things will be there in the respective consumer client service provider. And you will do the development from development in the platform that has been provided by the client. So some of the service models which we had discussed, or we are so this one example which are seeing for infrastructure as a service. The capability provided by to the consumer is to provision processing, storage, networks and other fundamental computing resources, where the consumer is able to deploy and run arbitrary software which can include operating system and application. So when you are talking about infrastructure as a service, the operating system is also included and the application they are going to deploy is also included, and this will be paid as and how much time you are using and how much is the number of GB you are used in this particular thing, the payment will be happening. So this includes applications, Google, some of the examples has been given here, salesforce.com has been given as an example here. So there are multiple cases that is happening here where you are using a software as a service, frameworks or platforms that will be used, which will be PaaS, Windows Azure is an example, Google is another example, AWS is another example which are people are using. Infrastructure service, there are multiple options given, examples that have been given here. The consumer does not manage or control the underlying cloud infrastructure, but has control over operating systems, storage, deployed applications, and possibly limited control of selected network components. So we are mentioned, as we were mentioning, as we discussed here, they have the control over operating systems or storage. So today we are talking about Windows, and suddenly let us assume that you are a software developer. Today the bank or today the organization who for whom you are doing develop requests and Windows server, and you do the entire development using Python or Java in Windows. Next person, next company said, no, I require it in Linux. So in normal scenario, if you are going to move from here to the other place, you have to have a Windows server, you should have a Linux server, or you should have a Unix server. In case of when you are going to have a development, a PaaS, in case of PaaS, you are going to have all these three different items, there is no need that you have to purchase a new server in this case. You will just copy the entire server, these servers from Windows server, put it in server which is in Unix or Linux, make changes as per the requirement of the respective platform, proceed further. SaaS is a software developed, deployed as a hosted service and accessed over the internet. Like you are mentioning, Tally is an example where multiple cooperative societies are using this Tally as a service. Historically, SaaS goes back to the late 90s or the early internet era, and hence it is a predecessor of cloud computing and was then commonly known as web services. So this is an example where people are connecting, and this is where the entire ASPs came picture, and from there we moved on to the cloud which we are having today. The application is owned by the cloud provider and the program resides and is executed on the provider servers. The consumer's browser provides an interface to the provider server. So there will be a web service, web kind of link that will be happening between the consumer's browser, be it a mobile or be it in a laptop or PC. This connection happens through a web service, and transaction will be happening at the provider server rather than at the consumer's location. All customers have valuable organization data stored in the cloud, and some of this information may be proprietary and business sensitive. Therefore, a secure environment is paramount. So, like we are discussing, if there is a breach in any of the laptops also, it may breach in the cloud location. So this is one thing which people have to be cautious about. So important thing is that your all the organization's laptop or the PCs has to be upgraded and should be having the latest security measures so that their breach is not happening. So let us see who are the SaaS or consumers mostly are there. Organizations providing their members or employees with access to typical software applications such as Office Productivity or email. These are the major places where SaaS is getting used. Your Outlook, which are going to have maybe a SaaS, or Gmail, which are using also is in SaaS, which are having Yahoo is in SaaS, which are having all these particular things are organizations or the places where SaaS is getting used. So what does a consumer get in these cases? The right to use specific applications on demand and application data management is the consumer who is getting all these particular benefits. So application is being managed by the respective people and maintained by the cloud service provider. How are usage fees calculated in these cases? Typically, based on the number of users, the time in use, per execution, per record process, and network bandwidth consumed, and quantity duration of data stored. There could be multiple combinations of whatever we had discussed today. It may be on time in use or execution per user per record, or it can be combination of all these three items. So it depends on what is agreement they are having and what kind of transaction they are doing, they are processing. Based on these particular things, the usage fees is getting calculated. Scope of control, SaaS cloud provider admin control over the applications and total control over hardware, OS and middleware. These are the scopes of control. SaaS consumer limited admin control over applications typically at the user level. So let us see what are the benefits of SaaS to the customer. Compared to traditional IT model, SaaS clouds provide scalability and also shift the burden significantly from consumers to providers, resulting in greater efficiency, performance, and cost efficiency. So these are the major things. Efficiency is going to be on the higher side, performance is on the higher side, and cost is going to be reduced when you are going to talk about the cloud service. But when you are talking about cost, it is not only you have to consider not only the transaction cost, it is depending on based on the number of servers you are going to have in your location, the AC, human resources that are required to maintain this particular thing. All this has to be considered when you are talking about the cost efficiency. Unlike in-house software applications, the consumer is not burdened with the complex installation procedures. So when you talk about software installation, it is a time-consuming thing. But when you talk about cloud deployment, it is going to be on the lesser side because it is going to be maintained by some other person. SaaS applications have very small footprints on client computers and hence very little or no client-side software are required and hence savings. So this is an important thing when you're going to talk about thick client, when you're going to talk about thick client installation. Thick client installation into each of your desktop itself is a painful job and there could be multiple limitations. There could be each and every server will be having its own antivirus, each and every laptop is going to run its own antivirus. All this can be avoided when you are going to talk about client web service based in deployment. Of course, there will be antivirus that will be running, but it will be limited. Your the PC will not be executing the entire client side software each and every time. No distribution costs and hence well suited to the small and medium businesses. License management overheads can be significantly reduced using SaaS. So whenever you require the respective users, you can take it. So license management will be very minimal in case of SaaS. Centralized management and data. Hence, the SaaS provider manages the data, including compliance, security, backup, and disaster recovery. All these are managed by the service provider and not by the respective organization. Platform or hardware is a responsibility of the SaaS provider. So they are relieved from the management of platform and hardware headaches. Savings in upfront investments and costs. So in case when you are going to purchase your own hardware and you are going to take the hardware in your location, all these particular upfront investments and costs are taken care of by the service provider itself. They provision the hardware, power and other computing resources at scale and more efficient than individual consumers can for their limited requirements. So next comes the security issues, which were very important when you had to discuss or decide whether you are going to proceed further with cloud or not. The information housed on the cloud is often seen as valuable to the individuals with malicious intent. So this is an important thing, has to be pitfall, has to be taken care of when we are proceeding further with for security issues and before proceeding with the cloud. So because there are options, there are possibilities that your cloud can be penetrated by some other person with a malicious intent. There is a lot of personal information, potential secure data that people store on their computers, and this information is now being transferred to the cloud. So personal information is moved to the cloud. So there is a possibility that someone with malicious intent can jump into your solution and do some malfunction here. This makes it critical for you to understand the security measures that your cloud provider has in place, and it is equally important to take personal precautions to secure data. So irrespective of whatever the cloud provider is having services, security provisions in their place, you have to ensure that you are also taking care of the security provisions and ensure that personal precautions are taken care for securing your data, because all the data which is there in your PC or your location is now transferred to the cloud. You must look into the security measures that your cloud provider already has in place. What encryption methods do the providers have in place? What methods of protection do they have in place for the actual hardware that your data will be stored on? Will they have backups of my data? Do they have firewall setup? If you have a community cloud, what barriers are in place to keep your information separate from other companies? So this is more important when you are going to have a community cloud where multiple companies are there. Maybe your competitors also jump into the same cloud. How your cloud data is secured from your competitor? So this is where you have to take care when you are going for a cloud provider. What are the security measures they are having? How your backup is getting taken? Where is getting stored? Are they having different location for storing this particular thing? Is it the backup is going to be stored outside the country or inside the country? Are your legal provisions of the country allows the data to be stored in external to your country? These are the things you have to take care when you are deciding on the cloud provider and how they are going to maintain the entire data. Most cloud providers have standard terms and conditions that may answer these questions. So go through all these standard terms and conditions we are deciding on the cloud provider. Small businesses may have more leverage to discuss the terms of their contract with the provider. So you have to have a look at all these particular things. However, the large and Fortune 500 organizations that have very tight security requirements may have to enforce their own standards on the cloud provider. So Fortune 500 and large organizations can decide and discuss with the security requirements with the respective cloud provider to ensure that their standards are being taken care by the cloud provider. This cannot be possible. This may not be possible for small business to discuss their, to decide or to enforce their standards to the cloud provider. Though cloud computing has virtually established itself and come to stay, there are still major concerns on data security. Hence, banks or financial sector still are reluctant to move to the cloud. Recently, also we were discussing one of the bank. They are ready for on-premises, but they are not ready for a cloud-based solution still. Both Fortune 500 companies and SMEs continue to hold major concerns specifically with respect to data security and availability. So these are major concerns still, and still people are having the respective security risk in mind, because finally the entire thing is managed by some other person, some other party. If we'll not be, the organization may not be sure what is security breach that has happened. Maybe the transparency there maybe still will be lacking from the cloud providers. In 2018, since the admissions of Google and other major hacking scandals that have hit the tech industry, the face of data security and public cloud remain. So like we are mentioning, hackers are 10 steps ahead of the normal non-hackers. So they are always trying to find out what is the loophole for them to enter into the solution and take the data. So if you see in the dark web, now also there are multiple cards, credit cards that are available for sale by the dark web holders, hackers. So this is an important reason why people are not in the position to move ahead to cloud still. Security challenges in cloud may be those in traditional in-premise implementations or those specific to cloud implementation. See, of course, we cannot say that on-premises implementations are not having that kind of security limitation, but still they will be in the position to manage the entire thing, and they will be aware that something has happened, and they will be in the position to take a preventive action. But when you talk about cloud, it may not be the same. Data breaches, data loss, hijacked accounts, compromised credentials, hacked interface and insecure APIs. These are the multiple issues that still the cloud or cloud computing is still facing. Distributed denial of services and denial of service. These are the major attacks that are happening, in which case the malicious intent people will be continuously hitting your application, and you, the actual users may not be in a position to connect to their transactions and do their transactions. This is denial of service which are our DDoS which they are having. So in a cloud scenario, this is more possible because there is more related people are connecting, and more there will be more connections will be happening to the same cloud. So this, there are more possibility of DOS and DDoS will be happening in the case of cloud. Malicious insiders, there could be possibility the cloud providers employees may have a malicious intent in their head, and they can do some transactions in your system by hacking their system. Abusing cloud services, especially infrastructure, can be used by some other person for his own purpose. Lacking or insufficient due diligence, possible in case it needs cloud. Generally, cloud computing offers customers virtual machine computing resources, that is virtual resources on rent at a low or affordable cost than it were hosted in-house, like we are mentioning. The benefits of cloud and the security risks that they are having, both the things has to be considered by an organization before proceeding further with the cloud, and based on the importance or based on the risk that they are handing in your hand, how much is the personal data that is going to be stored in a cloud. Based on these particular items, they have to take a decision. Attackers could also rent space in the cloud and then use that space as a base of attack on neighboring clients. This is a very interesting thing. When you are going to, more specifically, when you are going to talk about the computing, the community cloud, there could be a possibility that the same neighbor, your neighbor in the cloud, is a person who is having malicious intent in mind, and he is trying to do an attack on your system. Another risk of sharing cloud space is that the actions of shared clients on a public cloud could indirectly impact fellow users. So, just now you are mentioning on this particular thing. There may be limitations on whether data can or should cross international boundaries, and contract terms may be less enforceable in another country. So, where your data is getting stored may be another limitations. Say, example, in your neighboring country where you are going to have, and which if they are going, if your data is getting stored in your neighboring country, be it Pakistan or China. So, and if they are, if there is some malicious or if there is a person whom they have to share the data with their respective regulators, then you are going to result in your data getting stored to your neighbors like Pakistan or China, if there is a legal rule, which is there in most of the countries where they are supposed to share the data, whatever has been stored in their servers with the regulators. So in these cases, your data breach or data getting shared with your neighboring country. So when you are entering into the particular legal terms with the cloud service providers, be cautious on where the data is getting stored. Continue to be the number one risk perceived by cloud users, which is nothing but data concerns. In cloud computing, it is a third party that is involved in securing the company's data, and corporate leaders are still concerned about how their data will be stored, controlled, and processed. Their main reason for such concern is when it comes to storage and security by nature, and traditional IT has been and continues to be risk averse. So this and like we are discussing, data concern is a major concern due to which people are not still reluctant to go into cloud. All it takes is one phishing scam and your business data falls into the wrong hands, irrevocably damaging your company's reputation. This is a very important risk that people are still having in their hands, because a simple scam, phishing scam, you will be in a point, your entire data is getting accessed by some other person. Today also you may get an unknown call in your WhatsApp. When we are discussing, I just got an unknown call in my WhatsApp chat. Hi, how are you? It is nothing but a scam that is going to come in your system, and you land up in sharing your details in your thing, which is nothing but a phishing scam that is happening. You more details you provide to them, more risk will be there, and which we'll be seeing in later chapters today when we talk about cybersecurity. The first four discussed below are security issues that we face in in-premises implementations too, whereas the later ones are specific to cloud deployments. So these are the major things. Even though some of the things are common between in-premises and cloud, some of the things are more focused on cloud deployments. Authentication, authorization would have to change for cloud deployments. Forensics would become much more difficult to complete in case it is cloud computing. So because the data is getting stored in some other place, you have to find out where the data breach has happened. Whereas in case of authentication authorization of your in-premises, you will be in the position to find out immediately because the control is in your hands. You know whom has to contact for respective item. But in case of cloud, it is like a cloud. You don't know where exactly it is. Availability. To ensure reliable and timely access to cloud data or computing resources, these are another thing which you have to consider in your point for cloud. Data confidentiality, this is more secure, more issues with cloud still, which are like we discussed on the data issues. The cloud system is related to the areas of intellectual property rights, covert channels, traffic analysis, encryption, and inference. Virtual machine security, virtual machines used in cloud providers may also have vulnerabilities. Obviously, they can have multiple virtual machines and we don't know which specific virtual machine may have a vulnerability still not fixed. VAPT, etc., etc., all this has been taken care of in cloud machines. We don't know vulnerability analysis, how they had done it and penetration testing, how much they had done it. Information security, unlike traditional in-premises deployments, in the SaaS model, the enterprise data is stored outside the enterprise boundary at the SaaS vendor data center. So information security is a thing that they have to consider before proceeding further with cloud later deployment. Network security is one more important thing which has to be taken care of. All data flow over the networks need to be secured in order to prevent leakage of sensitive information. So you have to consider because the data is going to go out of your premises, go out of your organization. So network also should be so much focused. If there is a small leak anywhere in the entire network provision, this may result in losing your precious data. Resource location in SaaS cloud deployment model, the end users will generally not be aware of where the resources are located, possibly in other legislative domains. So which we have to consider, like where exactly, which country this data is getting stored. This is where you have to be focused and find out where exactly and what are the legal regulations the specific country has to be ensured. Cloud standards. The security issues that we face in cloud computing includes cloud standards also for network architecture, data format, metering and billing, quality of service, resource provisioning, security identity management, and privacy. All these cloud standards has to be taken into consideration before proceeding further with cloud deployment. Data segregation, how the data is getting stored, which when you're talking about multi-tenancy, multiple countries you are going to have, how we are going to store the data, where exactly it is going to be stored. All these has to be considered before going ahead with your cloud segregation. As a result of multi-tenancy, multiple users can store their data using the application provided by SaaS and intrusion of data of one user by another becomes possible. This is one more thing which has to be considered when you are talking about multi-tenancy and multi-country. Countries like Kenya, where you are going to have details like the regulations like the data should not cross the country's borders. Okay, this is one more important thing for countries like Kenya or Singapore. Singapore, I think it is fine. But countries like Kenya, there is a limitation that you cannot store, the data cannot be stored outside their own country. So when you talk about cloud, the data can be stored in India also in normal clouds. So you have to consider when you're going to talk about multi-tenancy, whether the specific country is allowing data to be stored in outside there, this thing has to be considered before going for cloud. Otherwise, you will be landing up breaching the data security details of the specific country. Data access issues are mainly related to security policies provided to the users while accessing the data. In a typical scenario, a small business organization can use a cloud provided by some other provider for carrying out its business process. So these are data, who is going to have the access to the data? Are they having third-party agreements cloud provider? So these are things has to be considered before proceeding further. Web application security is one more important thing. One of the must-have requirements for a SaaS application is that it has to be used and managed over the web. So accordingly, web application security should be tightened, should be proper. SaaS introduced new security risks that cannot effectively be defended against at the network level and require application level defenses. So not only you will be bothering about in a normal scenario, on-premises scenario, you will not be having application level defenses because you are sure that the network is there to take care of the entire limitation, the entire defenses. But in case when you are going to talk about a SaaS, then their application level differences has to be increased. Otherwise, there is a possibility that some other person will be accessing your system. Say, example, three level authentication may be required for accessing this thing. Say, one level, two level is like one level means you are going to just give the user ID password. Two level means you will be having access to your user ID password plus biometric or biometric kind of thing. Three level is that you will be having OTP and biometric and password. So this kind of different differences has to be created when you are going to talk about SaaS to ensure that you are not going to have some other person accessing your application. Identity management and sign-on process. Identity management deals with identifying individuals in a system and controlling the access to the sources in that system by placing restrictions on the established identities, and is one of the biggest challenges in information security. Like we are saying, how we are going to control the person who is not having access from connecting to your system has to be considered before proceeding further with a cloud system. It's all the more challenging a task when the applications are always have used from outside the firewall or DMZ, which is demilitarized zone. So where when you in case of demilitarized zone, you will not have that much controls over the entire thing. Outside your firewall will not have any control, too much control there because it is open to everyone. So this is where you have to consider what are the challenges you will be facing before proceeding further with the cloud related item, because most of the things will be happening outside your DMZ in case of cloud.